Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, November 1st. New beginnings. And let's hope that November has less of a trauma for us here in LA, because we've had lots of fires, lots of winds, and a lot of killings and stuff. I don't know what's going on. 4 people killed last night in a party. I know a day before that, 3 people were killed in Long Beach, so I don't know what's going on. And I'm seeing a headline that maybe we'll talk about this in a little bit, but 5 men acquitted of rape because unconscious teenage victim didn't fight back. And I have a feeling this is probably not here in America. If it is, it's pretty sad, you know, but it's pretty sad anyway. But I don't know what's going on in the world, man. It's getting to be crazy. But at any rate, we're healthy, we're good, and it's Friday. I'm in a good mood, and I have a great guest in the studio. She's returning. Her name is Dr. Nancy Lee. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hi, Sam.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy and thrilled to be here. It's a real honor.
Last time you were here, Danny was here, so we had a very colorful show.
Yes, I remember.
But today we'll still have a lot of fun because you deal with fun stuff. Everybody likes to talk about dating and relationships
sex.
And sex and everything. You know, funny you should bring it up because I've been having a lot of dreams about sex lately.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And it's not that I haven't, I think I've always had them, but the thing is this. After my stroke a month ago, by the way, today is the 1st, which marks exactly a month since I had my stroke. And ever since then, I told you I quit cigarettes and everything, but I also quit cannabis, which I smoked for many years. So what that does to you, although it makes you feel great, you don't remember your dreams. So, you know, now I wake up in the middle of the night because my sleep is not as deep as it used to be. But so I wake up during the night and there's always something. I'm always aroused.
Okay, that could be a good thing. I mean, that shows that you have a really healthy libido.
I do, but it doesn't get satisfied. So,
oh, that's not good.
No, that's not good. Maybe you can help me find a woman. You wrote a book. What's the title of the book?
Don't Sleep With Him Yet.
Okay.
A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps.
Okay, so badass guide, what does that mean?
It means that it's a guide that you're going to read and say, wow, I really wasn't aware of this, but this is so empowering. Right. Badass means you are your own person. You're not going to take, excuse me, but you're not going to take shit from anybody.
Good.
And that's what this book is all about.
Right. And women definitely should not take shit from anybody because they have for many years, many generations, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Especially from men.
Well, who else? You know?
Yeah.
There's only 2 right. sexes.
Right.
Or at least there used to be, right?
Used to be genders. Is a good one. Yeah. There's a couple more these days.
Today there's like 30 genders, you know, try to fit into something. But it's interesting that everybody, when they change their sex, it's either to men or women, you know. So I don't get the other genders, but okay, whatever. So this is obviously aimed towards women, but I would imagine men want to know what women think.
Absolutely.
And how they behave and everything, so you can so you can know what you're dealing with, you know?
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because so lately I'm hearing I'll be at an event or a cocktail party and with a friend that I know, their boyfriend or their husband comes up to me and says, oh, by the way, I found this, you know, I saw this book on Sheila's nightstand and I just decided to go through it. Well, actually one comment was, wait, I didn't know Nancy wrote porn. No, just that was a joke. But in all seriousness, the men that are reading this are finding wow, this is really interesting. I didn't realize women thought like this. And right. sometimes I'm even getting reactions that I feel really bad about how I behaved years ago because I really didn't understand like how I was making women feel.
Right.
So I think that's been really interesting. Also, some of my endorsements actually on the front pages of the book are from men. There were men who reviewed the book who were in the literary world, and they loved it. Some of them are psychologists, and some are just men going about their lives.
Yeah, no, you got to know who you're dealing with, you know. And I mean, I love stuff like this. And last time, Danny took the copy, but this time I'm getting my own copy. So I'm gonna check it out because you talk about very relevant things, and. You know, so but you do talk to women as well, which I think I guess there's a lot of like uncertain things about dating these days, you know, with the Me Too and all that. People don't know how to behave anymore.
Right. And what's so relevant about all that, it's interesting. So, again, very interesting. I started writing this book about 7 years ago, and the title wasn't popular. I did kind of like a very informal focus group on friends, acquaintances, patients, just people in general. And I'd say, what do you think of this title? Don't Sleep With Him Yet. And I got reactions ranging from, I don't know about that. I don't know if anybody is really going to buy that. Hello, it's become a bestseller of sorts. But that's, but.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. But the title, it's interesting. 7 years ago, there was a lot of uncertainty about the title. I stuck with it because that's a theme which I'll get into about the book. But now, when people hear the title, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. That's right on. And that shows also how the times have changed.
Right. And yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and so, I mean, why was it more controversial a few years ago? Why would you say?
Excellent question. Because women felt obligated to sleep with a guy. Oh, gosh, this guy is wonderful. But you know, it's really soon. He wants third weekend we're dating. He wants to go away to Santa Barbara, which of course means he wants to have sex with me.
Right.
Not with me. I'm off the market, but patients would say, I'm not really ready. And say, okay, you're not really ready. Then wait. Oh no. Then he's going to walk away. Hello. Like what I say is like, wake up. If you refuse sex right at, you know, at the beginning, or really, well, if you refuse sex and a guy walks, this dude, without even waiting to see what develops, this dude is not going to be
right.
Your
he
soulmate.
Just wanted sex, maybe.
Exactly. Right. So what's changed now is, it's interesting that you mentioned Me Too and Time's Up, because even though that's geared towards non-consensual sex, what's really happening is that women feel empowered to say what they want, even in consensual relationships, what they want or what they don't want.
Right.
So if they don't want to sleep with somebody that they're dating right away, they don't.
Right.
I mean, they don't need my permission,
right.
But the book really reaffirms that. Like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
Right. But it seems like a lot of young women, they actually like that. They like sleeping with someone on the first or second date, you know? But are you saying that a relationship is less likely to succeed if you do that?
Okay, so two issues.
Right.
So really young women who are hooking up, no, they don't. I mean, that's actually almost like a male fallacy. Oh, she loves it. She wants it. She's, you know, 18 and she just wants to hook up. No. What happens, by the way, is I work with a lot of college students, even high school students.
Wow.
So they come into my office and they will be talking about a guy that they hooked up with. And this doesn't even necessarily mean sleeping with somebody. It just means, like, just to get our terms, defined hooking up as anything. Hooking up can be anything from French kissing on, just any intense sexual activity.
Right.
So they'll come into my office and be saying, I hooked up with this guy, you know, that I don't, he's so cute at this party, but I don't really care about him. They're trying to convince themselves that they don't care. But what happens is they can't stop checking their phones for a text from the guy. Mm. Sometimes even during a therapy session, like, hello, don't tell me and tell yourself you don't care if you're crying if he doesn't text you.
Right.
So women attach very differently.
Yeah.
And then, Sam, tell me your second question again. Can you repeat that? It was about a relationship.
Yeah, it's like if you have sex on the first or second date, do you think it guarantees you're not going to have a serious relationship?
An excellent question, and one that I'm asked all the time. It doesn't guarantee it, but it's less likely.
You think so?
Does it
have to do with age or anything?
No, it's just our brains really, this is something that's pretty much across lifespan. Mm. Women attach differently than men. So women have sex, and it deals with evolutionary psychology. It's actually really fascinating. So that's in my book. But we really do attach differently once we've had sex. It goes back to childbearing, needing a man to stick and help you take care, stick with you and help you take care of your babies, because we could not go out and hunt and gather like the men. So men went out, they could hunt, and they could also impregnate as many women as possible. That was in their best interest to for their genes, for their DNA to survive. So we do attach really differently. Men can have sex very, very, and be very disconnected.
Right, without any feelings or anything.
Without any feelings. And by the way, you may think about this in your own life. It gives very little incentive for a guy to get to know a woman really well if they sleep together immediately.
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, again, it makes sense maybe in many ways, but I always go back to my second marriage. You know, we had sex on the second date, and we were together for 15 years, you know, and we're still best friends and everything. So,
and I'm guessing.
So, but we were older, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that was in our 40s.
Okay.
And I think at that point, there's less games, more like, okay, let's do what we want to do.
And I'm guessing at that point, you really wanted a relationship and you knew what you really wanted.
Right.
So that was also different.
So
you were the positive exception.
Right.
That, and again, in the book, I'm not like, so one of the points that I really want to make is I'm also letting women know, if you choose to have sex, that's fine.
Right.
But just make sure you're respected. You know what you're getting into. You're doing it because you want to.
Exactly, because you want to.
Not because you have to.
Right.
And that sounds
pressure.
And that sounds like the situation with that and your second wife.
Right, right. No, absolutely. You know, because I also know I dated someone and she made me wait. We ended up waiting like 2 months or something.
Okay.
And that wasn't necessarily the best thing, because you wait long to find out that maybe you're not that sexually compatible or something, you know? So sometimes you want to know early on before you invest any time, whereas women want the opposite. They're like, let's make sure we get along first before I let you into my body, kind of a thing, you know?
One of the lines from my book is something like, do you want to uncover a man's bare truths when he's on top of you naked and panting, or do you want to know the truths before?
Right, right.
So
no, but I see what you're saying. I mean, it totally makes sense, because if a relationship depends on the sex, it's probably not going to last very long, because once the desire is gone, or maybe diminishes, then you have the relationship, you have the person to deal with. And, you know, if you're not getting along, if you don't like each other, then what's the point?
Exactly. The point is that if you're a woman, you're going to be really hurt if you've been sleeping with somebody. If you're a guy, you're going to walk away.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of brain chemistry involved. That's, again, I find it fascinating. Actually, readers of the book have told me it's also fascinating. But so the sex is a reward, and we have it's a very powerful reward. So is chocolate. So is food. So we have this reward. So are drugs, but that's a whole other session. But we have this reward center in our brain, and the harder that the more we want a reward, the more exciting our drive to pursue that is. Mm. So if a woman, this is brain chemist, this is just looking at it just neurologically. Right. So if a woman waits, the man is going to get very, very excited about having sex with her.
Right. It builds up
the excitement, right. the dopamine driven chase, if you will, becomes very, very exciting. And the reward itself, once it happens, can be very powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's something that people don't necessarily realize when they're thinking about just timing and pacing of sex.
Right.
Sex has so many different facets.
Use it for different reasons, right?
Exactly.
Many different reasons.
Yeah. You also did bring up a really good point about age. So again, men in their 20s are going to be very different most of the time. There's some 40-year-old men I know who act like they're teenagers, but yeah, in general, so men in their 20s, if they're sleeping with a woman on the first date, first or second date, they're not thinking, okay, I really want to get married and have my companion like you were in your 40s.
Right. But the woman probably doesn't either, right? At that age.
It depends. Yeah. Remember, and again, this is another very, very powerful force of acculturation. Mm. I mean, from 3 years old, I see little girls in their 3 and 4, and I was a little girl once, and we were fairy princesses, and we were already talking about marrying, who we were going to marry. Are we going to marry the prince? Mm. And even, I'm not saying this is not necessarily, I'm not judging it, but this is acculturation. Like even little girls are acculturated to thinking, okay, who's the prince and who am I going to marry? Men are not acculturated. Find me a little 4-year-old boy who's already thinking which princess he's going to marry. It doesn't
yeah,
exist.
Right.
And of course, biologically, women, if they want to have kids and they're in their late 20s, they may be thinking, they're typically thinking, okay, is this guy I'm dating going to be the one? With men, it's all over the map. It's a lot more diverse.
Right. So, I mean, are you saying that mostly women are looking for serious relationships?
I'm going to go out on a limb on this, but I'm going to say women in their, say, late 20s, early 30s in general.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, at that age, they probably
yes.
Are.
Yeah, all ages are different. You find a woman that's, maybe she's had 2 marriages and she's in her, she's a little bit, older.
Right.
She may want a companion,
right.
Or she may want to remarry. But if a woman, I think one of the things that becomes really relevant is, does a woman want kids or not?
I see.
Because
okay.
When a woman wants kids, right. She's typically looking for a husband.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right. But women prefer to be with one man. Let's say, again, generalizing, but women prefer to have one man, and men many times will take as many as they can.
They're better jugglers.
Right.
Although women can women are smarter jugglers. They can juggle guys a lot smarter than men. Men, it's too transparent.
Yeah.
That, so.
But I mean, you obviously can find affairs, extramarital affairs where women are participating in everything. So I would imagine sometimes one is not enough, but maybe it's because there's something wrong with the relationship, right? Is that the case?
Yeah. So people, men and women, have affairs for so many different reasons. And there's there are emotional affairs where sex isn't even involved. There are all sorts of affairs.
That's true. Like if someone is just like communicating with a woman from another city or something, and they don't have anything, just an emotional connection, and the woman and the wife may say, "Well, this is bad enough for me to end our relationship." Right?
So you're talking
if his heart is somewhere else.
Okay, so you're talking right. So you're talking about whether it's a husband or a male boyfriend, partner is sharing intimacies and talking to another woman as though it's his spouse,
right? Without even a physical contact,
right? And what's also,
and for a man it would be like that too. You know, I mean, if I knew
absolutely,
if I knew my wife was like, you know, talking to some guy and she's got a lot of feelings for him, it's like goodbye, you know. I'm not going to deal with this, so I can see what you mean.
Well, you skipped the therapy part. We don't want to. We don't want to put me out of business,
right?
But actually, one thing that's a very interesting breakdown that you see in therapy, I sometimes don't differentiate. I see this in office, out of office, but women seem a lot more. They're not happy, but they will tolerate their husbands, if they won't tolerate it happening, but they'll really want to work on the marriage afterwards and rebuild trust.
Right.
Whereas, just like what you said, exactly, prototypical male will be, I'm done with this. I'm over.
Right.
I'm walking. So a man is much more inclined to leave a relationship, whereas a woman will want to hang in there and have therapy and really figure things out and rebuild trust.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because men feel like the women is their property or something?
I'll tell you exactly.
Like a possessiveness kind of thing?
I'll tell you exactly why. Mm. Our brains are different. So men think much more in a black and white way, where women analyze and there's a lot of nuance. And that's because we have more densely packed actually neurons in that area of our brain where we do analyze and communicate emotionally. So that's one reason. Another, the reason you said where, okay, men feel more possessive, it gets into almost like a macho. That's also a really good point. It gets into kind of this machoism of, yes, I this is my possession and she's tainted or...
Right, but I mean, how can a woman actually take a guy back after she feels that he's gotten so intimate with another woman? I mean, that's, like you said, maybe it's hard for me to comprehend because I'm a man, but still, I would think maybe that's the exception, no? When a woman will keep the man after that.
No.
She's,
remember, her bond is also really strong. Mm. So she's, especially if this is a marriage, you're talking about her best friend, the love of her life. She's not going to want to lose that to somebody else. So she'd rather move forward. And again, trust is so important because when anybody has an affair, there's an absolute shattering of trust.
Right, right. And so that's an important point to know, you know, is that men do behave, respond differently to affairs than women do. And
in general.
Yeah, because they think differently, you know, and I can totally see where that would happen. I doubt I would ever stay with a woman, but then again, so that's the typical male.
Yeah, again, when somebody cheats on a guy, he's again, this is oversimplified, but he's out of there, and a woman will be okay. Let's go to therapy.
That's true. I mean, I've seen that a couple times in people I know, and it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. Now let's talk a little bit about online dating and everything. You know, what's interesting is we talked about my second wife. I met her online, but that was on J-Date.
Oh, cool.
But that was 15 years ago. There was no phone apps or anything like that. So there were only like Match and J-Date and a couple of other
E-Harmony.
Christian dating, whatever. But that was a different online experience, you know, because I feel with the dating sites, it's not just swiping right and left. You actually take the time to write a long profile, to look at the woman or the man, and take your time. So it worked for us, you know, it really worked. And that was early on the internet, you know, I mean, you're talking 15 years ago.
Okay.
The internet is only about 30 years old, you know, so.
Right.
So that was early on when it was still, there was still stigma to it, to dating online.
There's absolutely no stigma now.
No,
actually,
right?
It's the second most common way that couples get together.
Right.
Ask me what the first way is.
I know, through friends and family,
you did read some of the
book. I didn't read.
Okay.
I know, because I do read a lot of stuff,
okay,
you know,
good.
So I know. But that's because it always used to be like that. Before online dating, that was probably the most popular way to meet, because people could not, it was rare that you meet someone in another city or something, when it was easier to have your neighbors, people in your own town, fixing you up or meeting through them.
Right. And it's still the most common way couples meet. That's why when I counsel women, and they're, I can't ask so-and-so to fix me up or tell them I'm looking for a guy, mm-hmm, I'll seem desperate. I'm like, absolutely not. That's how people meet.
Right.
So, and that's, statistics show that.
Right.
So, and then, of course, online dating, the second most common way. Again, I have both men and women coming, and they'll, you know, be sharing some really disasters, and some of those are in my book. But yet, my advice to them is just keep going. Take
right.
a break when you get frustrated, but keep going.
Right.
And also, one of the downsides of dating digitally these days, online dating, is it tends to give people a shopping mentality. So it's like a revolving door. Okay, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to toss them out and just go back. But you also really want to get out of that mindset.
Right. Because when it's organic, you don't think in those terms, right? I mean, let's say you're at a party and you meet someone. Suddenly, the age doesn't matter, the religion doesn't matter,
excellent
the education
point.
Doesn't matter. It's like you get that feel for the person, which is really what attracts you to another human being.
Absolutely.
Right? As being there physically.
Exactly. There's a there's a chemistry, and by chemistry I don't just mean physical chemistry. There's an intellectual chemistry, there's just a feeling. And this may be somebody that you wouldn't even look at online.
Right.
So that's an excellent point you made.
Right, you know, because sometimes I go, well, how does this, let's say, how this older man is with such a younger woman and stuff. In online dating, it would never happen, because she wouldn't be searching for someone that old, you know. But if they're at a party or something, they meet, she's like, I don't care how old he is, I'm connected to him, you know. And that's what I'm saying. But sometimes it's different, you know. I mean, sometimes people like connect because it's a transaction for them. You know, it's like, I can get this from this person if that.
And unfortunately, online dating brings that out a little bit more. So what I tell, well, both men and women, but especially women, look for things like in a profile, something that shows a little bit of kindness, or does the guy make you laugh? Don't always look for, this looks perfect on paper.
Right.
Because trust me, perfect on paper is going to be a disaster in person.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. It's funny you brought it up, but to me, it's sort of like a pet peeve of mine that almost every woman is like, I like when he makes me laugh. Where does that come from? Why do men never say that?
Because men are looking at a woman's body. No, just
so, but why is the first thing looking to make her laugh? What, are we supposed to be like a joker or something? Or a clown? I mean, why, aren't there more important things?
I think that when women are saying he makes me laugh, is what she's really saying, I can feel happy around him. This is somebody, remember, when you laugh, you're really off guard. You're not thinking about how you're coming off. So if a guy is making a woman laugh, it's kind of like showing this is a happy vibe. This is a positive vibe.
Right.
But Sam, let me ask you a question. Don't you like it if you spend time with a woman and you're laughing and enjoying yourself, won't you be more inclined to?
Absolutely, but I don't put it in the profile, you know, and I mean, to such an extent that I've noticed just about every woman writes it. You know, and that's why it's a pet peeve for me, because it's like, not that I'm not funny, not that I don't have a sense of humor. I think I can make people laugh, but that's not the point. The point is, why are you looking for something that seemingly is so, like, minor to me? You know, I mean, you can be happy without laughing or without someone making you laugh. Why don't you worry about you make me laugh? You know what I'm saying? Why should I make you laugh?
Right. They're probably saying sense of humor,
right,
in a sense, but they're saying it in a roundabout way. So it's kind of like, okay, if you are humorless or don't have any sense of humor, don't apply.
So, okay.
Hey, I'm making you laugh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, but that's the thing, is that you have to have a sense of humor to be to enjoy somebody's humor as well as to make them laugh, you know, and that's what I'm saying.
Right. And I think, and I agree with you that it's kind of a wrong thing to put in a profile, because humor and laughter is something that happens. Right. So again, it's that shopping mentality where, okay, do I check the box? Can I make her laugh? Like you said, like, right, men are going to read that and think, what am I, do I have to like tell jokes or
exactly
get a joke book?
Or they'll say, definitely I can make her laugh. So it's not really a point that she's going to like, it's not a way to qualify someone. That's what I'm saying, because every man is going to go, oh yeah, I can make her laugh. So, you know, it's not like he's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to pick her because I don't think I can make her laugh.
You've helped me as a therapist, because I'm going to go this afternoon and I have one woman coming in and she's is going to talk about who she met or didn't meet online, and I'm going to ask her if she has that in her profile. But it is really helpful for women to know, like, no, don't put that in. We also need to know how do men receive things,
yeah,
of what.
I just think it's a non-issue when you're looking for someone, because, like, again, you know, I mean, and it's not just that. Like, for example, a woman might say, I like someone who's kind, you know, I like someone. What's a guy not going to think he's kind, you know?
That's it.
So she's not really qualifying anybody. She's just saying things that are meaningless.
There are things that are very difficult to operationalize. You're putting that out there. Actually, I like somebody who's, the men who think they're kind are probably narcissists. But no, these are actually really good points that,
right,
you're educating me also.
Yeah, because I mean, these are things you're not going to find out until you're already with the person, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's hard to prove also or to disqualify. I mean, if you say, I'd like someone tall, the guy's immediately going to know, hey, I don't qualify.
That's right.
Right? And, you know, or of a certain religion or political views or something, or rich, has money. It's things you can prove and things
operationalize,
that you can disqualify,
right,
someone.
It's, yeah, almost like if you say, I want somebody compatible with me. Well, we, yeah, don't, you know, we, yeah, don't know, exactly, that till you might know that within the first 5 minutes of your date, but,
right,
you don't necessarily
know. So, you
know,
so that's why I think it's these things, why I think it's so hard to connect online. You know, like you said, it's a list. It's like a laundry list, and people become very, they have high expectations, like you said. You know, they think that they're going to find someone that has all those things.
Checks
they write down.
The boxes.
Exactly, you know, and it doesn't happen that way. So, I mean, for me, those apps have been extremely frustrating, you know, because, I mean, if I met, again, I mean, if it was more recent and I met someone, it's, again, on a website that's more, like, involved than just swiping someone right and left. I never had anything come out of that one. And not only that, but, I mean, I just feel that I don't get any responses, you know. You get on a lot of sites, they always tell you, yeah, it's your profile. Okay, so you keep changing it all the time. But you know what? The reality is, when they swipe right and left, they don't look at your profile. They first look at how you look.
It's two-dimensional.
Right.
It's the profiles are two-dimensional. The strength is it brings people together who would have never met otherwise.
Right.
But absolutely, the downside is that you're looking at somebody as two-dimensional. Look,
right,
you present very well. Women out there, he's great. see?
Yeah, so, exactly. But so, I can't so, make him see it on the
but,
apps.
But again, that's something that would not necessarily come through,
right,
on, like, in an online profile. But,
right,
that doesn't mean that you stop trying.
Right. Let me tell you what I think happens with all those online dating. Is what happens is most of people are, let's say, just ordinary looking. Okay, people don't look for ordinary. People look for beautiful.
Well, men
for the most part.
Men.
I think women too. I really do. I mean, I'm not saying it's the only thing, or maybe even the first thing. Okay, but so what happens is this. Okay, let's say men do. Okay, just say men do.
They do.
All right. So what happens is this. So the beautiful women, the desirable ones, let's say, they get like 1,000. Responses a day.
Yes.
Where the ordinary woman may not even get one. So what happens is that she doesn't even get, she can't even go through the 1,000 responses, so she doesn't even know you exist or that you wrote to her. So what happens is that it's so skewed that many women are left without anybody interested in them, and many are just like, they don't even know the men wrote to them. So the men are like, oh, they don't notice me. No, I don't get any responses.
That's true. But think about, okay, think about if you went to a party. So you as a man, are you going to approach the average looking woman? You might, you may not. Well, actually, now that I'm saying that, there's a really interesting study that shows that, so women were rated. And this was by psychologists. So women were rated as either attractive. It was something like very attractive or plain, something like that. And so these psychologists went to different events and bars, and they found that even unattractive women who displayed more what they called approach behaviors, meaning smiling, eye contact. I don't suggest doing this, ladies, but dancing in their chair, licking their lips. The last two, I do not suggest doing that. I want to repeat that. Yeah. But it was really interesting because they were approached more frequently than women rated as very attractive.
I see.
So I just took back what I was about to say, because even at an event, you would assume an attractive woman would be approached more often, but there's the benefit of the eye of all the things I said, the smile, the eye contact,
the approachability,
body language becomes really important. And you don't have body language. You don't have body language or eye contact online.
Right. You know, another thing, though, is that, like, in a party, for example, if I see the beautiful woman and usually guys are around her, you can't approach her either because everybody's going towards the same women, you know. So I do think there's that it's skewed that way. You know, approachability or not, the reality is that people are attracted to more attractive people and they get all the action and, you know, so... So it makes it difficult. It makes it so many people feel nobody's interested in them, you know,
which is the wrong way to think.
Right.
So definitely have to reframe thinking.
Well, okay, but let me ask you this. Okay, I mean, I let's say I'm on 4 apps and nothing happens. I mean, I approach women, they don't respond, and then nobody picks me. Or if they do pick me, it's really not people I'm attracted to. So my question is, so it doesn't work for everybody. That's what I'm saying, you know. Like for me, at my age, I'm not that, I'm almost 60, okay? I don't think I'm that desirable. You know what I'm saying? Because.
That's such the wrong way to
think. But it's not. I'm telling you, I can feel it. I know it. Because there's only, well, okay. You know, but not by women that I would want to be with.
Well, see, there's the woman you would want to be with.
Right.
I don't know you well enough, but I'm guessing that maybe you're, you know what, I don't know what attributes you're looking for.
Well, I want halfway attractive, okay?
Okay.
Halfway attractive. The ones I'm getting are not women that I would ever... be interested.
This is
in.
Online, though, right?
Yeah, on apps.
On apps. Okay, so then what I would tell you is go out and do more things
right.
organically.
Right.
Just go out, join join organizations.
Like meetups, things like that.
Absolutely.
I know, I've been thinking about that. To me, going out to bars and stuff is not really where I want to find anybody. But you're right, you know, like groups and meetups and things.
Go to meetups, look at, like in your city, look at wherever you live, look at the throwaway newspaper, look at events going on. Just be out there as much as you can and do approach that quote unquote beautiful woman, because I'm telling you, I have an office full of beautiful women patients. Many are single, and what they express to me is that they get really frustrated because people assume that they're a snob or I won't talk to him. And sometimes you'd be surprised there. And this can not necessarily be a bar. This can be even in the grocery store, and they're locking eyes with a guy, and then
Never happened to me in my life.
You're shopping in the wrong. After we're on the air, I'll give you a rundown of the grocery stores.
Even saw anybody even halfway interested in me in the grocery store. They always look away. They always look busy looking at the stuff, and doesn't work for me. But
wait, Sam, I'm going to ask you a question. So what would be the worst thing if you saw somebody you were attracted to in the grocery store and you did just say hi, and the worst thing that would happen if she rejected you, God forbid.
I was asked that in my therapy many times, and I still feel that I would feel extremely rejected, and I can't live with that. I can't live with that, so that's why I don't approach women that often at all. Well, never actually, but for example, even I went to a speed dating thing, okay? And that was supposed to be ages 40. I mean, the men are 45 to 60, and the women are 40 to 55, okay, which makes sense, right?
Okay.
I mean, for me to meet someone in her 40s would be great, you know, because I don't feel like, you know, I'm compromising or anything. Men, for the most part, do prefer younger women. And so I thought, yeah, if I meet someone in her 40s, even early 50s is okay, you know? I mean, if she's attractive and everything, she takes care of herself. So I go there. And they make us all wait in the bar and the restaurant and everything until everybody arrives. And I'm going, oh, wow, there's some nice young-looking women here and everything's cool, so I'm glad I'm here.
Okay.
Suddenly they come and they go, okay, everybody with W on their name tag, please come upstairs to the – they're going to take them to the
right?
Suddenly I'm looking around and all I have is all the women that I'm not attracted to at all. And I'm saying, what
because
the hell
of the
happened here?
Because of the random W?
No. I'll tell you what it meant, because I asked him afterwards.
Yeah.
I asked him, what did the W mean? She says, well, that was the Asian dating group. Okay. And so they were all mingled in the bar, and I thought, we're all the same group. Suddenly, I'm looking at women in their middle to late 50s, and I thought, this is not why I came here. I can't imagine sitting here now for 2 hours talking to women I'm not attracted to. So I took off.
Yeah, but that was probably a poorly run group.
Well, maybe. But I'm telling you, that's who is interested in me is women that are my age, and I don't know.
Get out there. I'm gonna come back, and I'm inviting myself back. I'm gonna come back in 2-3 months, and I want to see you dating. You're gonna be, you know what? I ate my words. I'm with this really hot woman, and she's a year older than me.
Listen, I've been in the market for 5 years. Don't tell me stories.
Okay, we'll see.
I forgot what sex feels like. Are you kidding me? No, really. I mean, it doesn't work for me, but. But that's okay, because I've got some good prospects, and I've got other ideas, other alternatives. So, as far as being openly on the dating scene, my age sucks.
Hang out in my waiting room. I will hang out in my waiting room. I've got some really attractive women, like all ages. No, seriously. Again, do you tell friends and acquaintances that you want to meet somebody?
Well, I don't have that many friends, but okay.
But no, you need to do more of that.
Yeah,
too.
No, I know. People know that, you know, that I'm available, but they don't do anything. No. I have to tell them, I guess, right?
You look, people aren't mind readers. They don't know. They think, hey, he's been married twice. Maybe he's, you know, just given up on the whole love and romance thing. Absolutely tell people. Right. And they know you, so they know the vibe you're looking for and
right.
all of that.
Yeah. But you know what? I realized something, we're running out of time, but I did want to say this. That, and I think I'm obligated to say this, is that after all, I've done some therapy and everything, and I realized that I've been looking more for a physical attraction. And I realized also that at my age, it shouldn't be the first thing I'm looking for, because I think what's important now is to spend the rest of your life with someone who loves you, who cares about you, who you can take care of and will take care of you later in life.
And is a good person with
right.
empathy.
Exactly. And a true partner. And that's just somebody you're attracted to physically, you know. And so I'm probably going to go back to one of my old relationships.
So, and I'm, look, there's nothing wrong with, this is how our brains work, and especially the male brain work. You want to be attracted to somebody so she's going to get through the gate. Right. After that, in terms of long-term mating, so to speak, kindness, intelligence, sense of humor, compassion, trustworthiness.
Right.
I emphasize that.
Yeah, even like a soul connection, you know, and that's what I've had in the past, and I'm thinking, why you let that go?
Right. So, but the initial is, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be attracted with somebody, because that's again, that's incentive for wanting to get them to know them better,
right,
and to be with them. But all the things, all those attributes, the appearance drops off, becomes less important in a long-term right. relationship. But again, that attraction has to be there right away.
Right.
But I must say, do not categorize women above 50s. You're going to find, you can find some really attractive women at all ages.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe some people can, and also depends on how you define attractive, you know.
That's
Everybody's
true.
Got a different taste.
That's true.
But at least in my position, I've been, I haven't done very well at all, and I know I should go out more and stuff, but
get out more. You've got a great personality. You're a good-looking guy.
No, I know. I just, my only problem is I can't stand rejection, and to the point where I'm willing to give up finding someone.
Okay, wait, Sam. I have a suggestion. There is no word such a, you have to take the word rejection out of your vocabulary. If you're at a grocery store and you say hi to a woman and she's disinterested, that you are not being rejected. You have not had a 10-month relationship with her.
Right.
You're just like, okay, hey, that didn't connect. It's a non-connection.
Right.
It's not rejection.
Right.
Okay? Promise
yeah.
me you'll do
easy,
that.
Easy for you to say after 60 years. I don't know, man. It's a
old
big
habits
thing in my
die.
Life, but
old habits die hard, but language and what
true.
We say to ourselves is so important.
You're right. You're right. And I'm too much in my head, you know. I mean, I also I went to a singles party too, and bailed out after about 45 minutes because I felt like everybody was looking at me.
They're not
feeling bad for me. I know.
They're
that,
so in
that
their
I'm
own
alone,
head.
You know.
No,
I know.
Especially everybody is in. Look, this is not uncommon. Like this, what you're expressing is not uncommon. It's very human.
Right.
But the bottom line is, people are so in their own heads,
right, they don't
and,
give a
and
shit, right?
They're really not thinking about, hey, that guy there is not with a date or is with a date or. I'm not exactly.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
Your book
me.
Again, Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps. You can't go wrong with this book.
It's on Amazon.
Amazon.
And follow me, please. My Instagram is Dr. Nancy Lee. And there's also a fun Facebook page, Don't Sleep With Him Yet, the book.
Awesome. Nancy, thank you so much for coming by again. And you're welcome back anytime you have an open invitation.
Oh, I'm coming.
You're full with great information here.
Thank you.
We like that.
And I want an update on your dating life.
Okay. And you're full of personality too, which is awesome.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So, and if you guys need help in dating, you can find her. How can they find you, your practice?
So,
Nancy, the social media is good enough?
The social media is great. You can also email me at Nancy Lee, PhD at hotmail.com.
Sounds good enough. Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.